You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Good evening, KCC. So awesome to be with you. Amen. Why don't you praise Jesus, not me? We praise you, Lord. Amen. God, we give you the next few moments. Father, I pray that as Pastor Heather said, those that are hungry would be filled. Those that are thirsty would thirst no more. Father, I pray for your spirit to speak. Lord, I pray you would use my words to bring about your agenda for the lives that are here in this room. Lord, and beyond the lives that are here in this room, the ones that are watching the stream. Father, but the ones that are going to be impacted as a result of who's in this room and who's watching. Lord, I pray for your spirit to move tonight. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, safely elbow tap someone. A COVID appropriate greeting before you sit down. Oh, how awesome to be with the renowned KCC Church. You know you're famous. You know you're famous, and I love what's going on here. I want to thank Pastors Rob and Heather. Can we honor your pastors? Yeah. Got to be the sweetest people in the world, and such a mother and father, and just no guile, and just beautiful people. Such an honor to be in the presence of people like these two. So make sure you love your pastors. Make sure you love your pastors. And Fred and Anna, so good. You guys are awesome. Been friends of City Point for a really long time. Really long time. We're kind of like cousins, I guess. Can we give it up for these two? So great. And the worship team and the worship conference in a couple of weeks' time. Corey Turner is an absolute favorite of mine. If you have never heard Corey, take my word for it, register and be here. He is an amazing man of God. He's the real deal. And he carries fire, and when he preaches, it just cuts through. He's an amazing, amazing friend as well. He's the real deal. So I encourage you, get along to conference. And it is my privilege to be able to share the word. As Pastor Heather said, I do love the scripture. Anyone else love the word of God? Do you know the word of God has done more for me than anything else? The word of God is transformational. It is alive. Did you know your Bible is alive? It speaks. I feel that the Bible reads me. I don't read it. The Bible's alive, and it's full of bread and water, and it sustains and it transforms. And so I do love the word. And I love that I have the privilege to share the word. It is always an honor. And I bring greetings from City Point Redcliffe. And my husband, Sam, and I have been there for 7.5 years now. We were youth pastors at City Point in Carindale for about 14 years before that. I know. But I reckon once a youth pastor, always a youth pastor, right? Love it. And I have my beautiful friend, Nicola Porter, with me. She's not related. But Jared and Nicola run our worship team at City Point Redcliffe, and they're absolutely amazing, and it's an honor for us to be with you tonight. So, roommakers, what an amazing theme. Just think about that. Think about that, that we have this infinite God, and yet we have the privilege to make room for him. How do you even make room for a limitless God? It's amazing, and that is grace. Grace allows us to do the impossible. Roommakers, and tonight I want to share with you a message that really has the power to liberate you. It has the power to take you into new spaces and change the realm that you operate in. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to keep asking yourself this question as I share tonight. The question is this: what do you see? It's a simple question, but really quite a profound question, because we speak out of what we see. We live out of what we see. We function out of what we see. Who knows that two people can be watching the same State of Origin game? One being a New South Wales supporter and the other being a Queensland supporter. And who knows, they watch the same play and have completely different opinions about what took place. I want to ask you, what do you see? What do you see? Because what you see determines your reality. Before we get into it tonight, I want to share about a remarkable person in history, and her name was Helen Keller. She was born in 1880, a long, long time ago, 1880. And she was born healthy, vibrant, intelligent, and at the age of 2 was struck with this sickness that left her both deaf and blind. The age of 2. And her behavior deteriorated, her frustration increased, and by the age of 7, she was given the life sentence. There's nothing we can do. This poor child who was born healthy and whole is now going to be blind and deaf for the rest of her life. There's nothing that can be done at the age of 7. And at about the same time, this lady named Anne O'Sullivan started teaching Helen. Anne ended up staying by Helen's side for the next 50 years. This woman, Anne O'Sullivan, started to try to help Helen rehabilitate. Talk about an impossible task. This child had now been blind and deaf for 5 years and frustrated with her condition. She'd lost memory of sight and sound. And Anne comes on the scene and starts struggling to teach Helen basic concepts and words. And one day she strikes gold when she runs the 7-year-old child's hand underwater as she's trying to teach her water. And somehow that stimulated a trigger in Helen's mind that unlocked memories from a 2-year-old bank back here. And Anne was able to write the word water on Helen's hand as she was running the water through, and somehow it unlocked her memory, and everything started coming to the forefront, and Anne was able to teach Helen to speak, firstly by writing words on her hands. She then allowed Helen to touch her lips, so Helen would touch Anne's lips as Anne spoke so that she could feel the way that her mouth moved as she said the words. The principal of the school that Helen went to even allowed Helen to put her hands inside her mouth so she could feel the way the tongue was forming as she spoke. By the age of 10, 3 short years, Helen could speak. 3 years by the age of 10. She learnt Braille. She went on to finish school and university. She published works and contributed to magazines and newspapers. She campaigned for the blind and deaf and disabled right across the states and in more than 40 countries. Remember, this is a disabled woman more than 100 years ago. Incredible, incredible. Anne Sullivan never left her side. She founded institutes, unions, parties, organizations. She received awards and accolades and associated with famous inventors, leaders, presidents. And just before her death was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom and elected into the Hall of Fame. Senator Lister Hill said this about Helen Keller: her spirit will endure as long as man can read stories and be told of the woman who showed the world there is no boundary to courage and faith. I want to ask you about your sight. I want to ask you about what do you see? Helen Keller lived 88 years and changed the world. What do you see? What do you see? What's your perspective? You know, too many of us live our lives in a box. You can imagine me walking around with a cardboard box, and our whole experience is limited to the inside of this box. We're restricted, we're confined, our reality is contained in this small space. And God wants us to take the box off. God wants us to move into wide open spaces. He never intended for you to be confined and restricted. He wants you to move beyond the limitations of what maybe the world wants to put on you. Maybe what your enemy wants to put on you. Maybe what your self-talk or your past may put on you. He wants you to take that box off. All the way through Scripture, it tells us that God has wide open spaces. We're room makers, aren't we? In Psalm 118, it says, "In my distress, I cried out to the Lord. He answered me and put me in a box." How did he answer? He put me in a wide open space. In 1 Thessalonians 5, let me prophesy this and speak this over you. You are sons of light, daughters of day. You live under an open sky and you know where you stand. 2 Samuel 22, he stood me on a wide open field and there I stood, saved, surprised to be loved. I want to ask you, are you living in the open spaces? What do you see? Do you just see the confines of a limited, restricted life? Or are you in the wide open spaces that God has for you? Because what you see is how you'll live. It's how you'll speak. It's what your reality will be. And so three things tonight, if we're going to live with heaven's perspective, all right, if you're going to live with Queensland's perspective on a State of Origin game, if you're going to live with heaven, the right perspective, what are the three things that we need? The first thing is that we need to see the supernatural in the natural. We need to see the supernatural in the natural. And can I tell you, as I get older, I realize this is more and more important. This is more and more the truth. To see the supernatural in the natural. Helen Keller herself said this, "It's a terrible thing to see and have no vision." Helen Keller, it's a terrible thing to see and have no vision. Too many people in the world can see, but they have no vision because they only see one reality. I want to tell you, there's a supernatural reality that is sovereign. It is authoritative. It takes authority over the natural, the supernatural. Do you know, it's entirely possible to see and have no vision. My amazing husband, Sam, he's incredible, an amazing man of faith, an amazing, strong, unshakable, resolute man. Before we were even dating, he actually paid for me to go on a Red Frog retreat. Nice, right? Nice move. Yep. And he was my life group leader, small group leader, connect group, right? So if you want to find a partner, there's a tip. There's a tip. Either run one or join one, okay? And I had no idea that he was interested except that he paid for me to go on this retreat. And I was like, oh, that's nice of my life group leader to do that. That's awesome. And we went to Fraser Island, a big group of young adults, uni students, and at the retreat, every morning at breakfast, he had a cup of tea waiting for me. I was like, all right. Right, great life group leader. That's part of the training now at KCC. But this one particular day, if you've been to Fraser Island, this one particular day, we went to Lake Mackenzie, and it's beautiful. And my girlfriends and I, along with everyone else, were on the sand sunbaking, and Sam walked past us. I thought, oh, he's probably busy. He's one of the leaders. That's fine. And then he walked past us again. And he walked past us several times. And I was like, okay, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, no, I am not interested in a guy who's like on 1 minute and off the next. I'm done. No, I'm sorry. And so being the very meek and mild person that I am, I confronted him about it. And I said that afternoon, why did you walk past us all those times? And he said to me, I'm so sorry. when I'm at the beach or swimming and I take my glasses off, I literally can't see anything. So I didn't even know it was you. I'm sorry. Who knows? Praise the Lord. I am very glad that he can't see at the beach these days. But do you know it is possible to make your way through life and not see the whole picture? It's possible to get by and actually not see clearly. It's possible to function and stay safe and get through without actually seeing clearly and seeing the whole picture. And so we have to be able to see the whole picture. And the whole picture is that there is a supernatural that operates alongside the natural. And there's a passage in Scripture that illustrates this so perfectly in 2 Kings. And the story here is the prophet Elisha. And he's been tracked down by the king of Syria who wants to take him out. Let's read it together. 2 Kings chapter 6. Then the Syrian king said, "Go and see where he is that I may send and seize him." And it was told to him, "He's in Dothan." So the Syrian king sent there horses, chariots, and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was around the city. And so Elisha's servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" It's literally two guys against a whole army. Elisha answered, "Fear not." Listen to this. "For those with us are more than those with them." Who is he seeing? What is he seeing? What do you see? What do you see? Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. It's powerful. If we're going to live with heaven's perspective, if we're going to move into the open spaces that God has for us, we have to see the supernatural above the natural. And so Elisha being able to see the supernatural meant that he was fearless in the face of an army. I don't know if you've ever been through anything that's tried to shake you. And the question is, what do you see? Do you remember? Do you remember the young shepherd boy? Do you remember? He's about this big with a giant twice the size of him. And he goes out with a few stones and he says to the giant, "You may come at me with a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord and his armies. And today you're going down." What do you see? Because when you see the supernatural, you can be confident and fearless. You can get up and face your opposition no matter how vast it may be, no matter how outnumbered it may try to make you feel, and you'll step into that place of victory. Not only was he able to be fearless, he was also able to pass that on to someone else. Do you know your faith, when it's genuine, is contagious? When it's genuine, it lights up other people. And it moves others into their transformational experience. When you've been transformed, when you know the power of the Holy Spirit, others get around you and they experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we can transfer it to other people. We have to train ourselves to see the bigger picture. God is bigger than whatever is standing against you. You plus God are a majority every single time. And we have to see Christ over our circumstances. The second thing, if we're going to live with heaven's perspective, is we have to take the smallest evidence and run with it. Did your mum ever say to you, "Oh, I give you an inch and you take a mile"? Do you know that's what we need to be with God? When he gives us an inch, we take a mile. All we need is the smallest evidence to go to the bank. That's how you live in wide open spaces. Take a mile. And the beautiful story here is in 1 Kings. So you rewind now. Our last story was Elisha. Rewind to Elijah, who was his mentor. And Elijah is facing another king, King Ahab. King Ahab. And there's a drought in the land because Elijah said so. King Ahab had offended God and turned the nation away from God. And so Elijah said, because of that, there's going to be a drought in the land. And there was. And so Ahab learned the hard way that when this guy spoke, he needed to listen because it was actually going to take place. They weren't friends. They weren't friends. And so there's a drought. And Elijah is now being told, tell King Ahab. God tells Elijah, tell King Ahab that there's rain coming. Let's read it together. 1 Kings 18. Elijah said to Ahab, up on your feet, eat and drink and celebrate. Rain is on the way. I hear it coming. And Ahab did it. He got up and ate and drank because this guy's like, all right, I better do what he says. Meanwhile, when you read the Bible, pay attention to the order that things are done. Meanwhile, Elijah climbed up Mount Carmel, bowed deeply in prayer with his face between his knees. What I notice here is that while some people feast, other people pray. And then he said to his young servant, on your feet now and look towards the sea. And so he went and looked and reported back, I didn't see a thing. Keep looking, said Elijah, 7 times if necessary. And sure enough, on the 7th time, oh yes, a cloud, but it's very small, no bigger than someone's hand, and it's rising up out of the sea. Quickly then, get on your way and tell Ahab, saddle up and get down from the mountain before the rain stops you. Things happened so fast. The sky grew black with wind-driven clouds and then a huge cloud burst of rain, and Ahab hightailed in his chariot for Jezreel. God strengthened Elijah mightily, and he pulled up his robe and tied it around his waist, and Elijah ran in front of Ahab's chariot until they reached Jezreel. I love this so much. Elijah is a punk. I love this. He has been causing trouble for Ahab for years. For years. Ahab's learned the hard way to pay attention to Elijah. And so before Elijah even sees the evidence, he declares the word. This is powerful. After his declaration, he prays. Initially, a word from God was enough to declare. Is a word enough for us? Or do we wait and hedge all our bets? Do we wait until the doctor's report agrees? Or is a word enough? Is a word enough to make a declaration? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He makes a statement before he has any proof. And he didn't take no for an answer. He said to his servant, no, I'm sorry, go again. Go again. Go again. He didn't take no for an answer. He declared, he prayed, and he refused any other report. And finally, there was a glimmer of hope, the smallest evidence, a cloud the size of a man's hand. In the blistering sky that had been dry for years, a cloud this big. And he goes, that's all I need. When God gives you an inch, take a mile. Ahab, get on your horse. There's torrential rain coming. I can hear it. No, he couldn't. It was a cloud this big. But it was enough to declare the word of God with full confidence, because when God says he will, he will. I want to encourage you today that God's word is enough to make a declaration, and the smallest evidence is enough to seal the deal. When God gives you an inch, take a mile. See bigger, go beyond, look further. And instead of addressing the obvious, well, there's a drought. No, no, no. Speak in faith. See in faith. In Romans 4:17, it says, God calls those things which are not as though they already were. Call those things that are not as though they already were. Your confession has authority. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. It's been given to you. Call those things that are not as though they already are. Ahab, there's rain coming. This is our God. We don't address the obvious and natural, but we build the spirit realm. And I won't apologize for believing the best. I won't agree with the cynics who want to dull everything down and live in the realm of reality. I won't apologize for being an optimist and always seeing the glass half full and declaring the word of God even when it sounds crazy. Fooey to the cynics, I say. You can stay in your box. I pray that you don't. But I won't apologize for believing God at his word, to run with even the smallest evidence. The glass is half full. It might be the size of a man's hand, but it's a cloud. And that's all I need. And the last thing, if I could have the band join me again, is to live with heaven's perspective, is you have to use your imagination. Your imagination is God's playground. Your imagination is his starting point. You don't believe me? Okay, I'll prove it to you. Ephesians 3:20. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we ask or. Message version. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does this not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Your imagination, my imagination, is God's starting point. He gave it to us. He gave it to us. He is able. He is willing. All the sons and daughters in the house, all the young and old, God said he would pour out his spirit. He would pour out his spirit for people to prophesy, for people to speak his word, for people to declare in faith the reality of heaven, the supernatural reality, not declaring the natural, but the supernatural. There's a day coming where the spirit will be poured out, and in fact, it has come, on sons and daughters, young and old, who will prophesy and dream dreams. The truth is, it's a dream that makes you alive. And as followers of Jesus, we live in wide open spaces, no matter how restrictive your enemy may want you to feel. Bust out of that. Shake it off and see what God sees. What do you see? You know, somehow in the day in and day out, life loses its shine. Life loses its gloss. Things happen. Things happen, and you know, once bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you're now once bitten, twice shy. And it's just a ploy of the enemy to pull you back from the wide open spaces that God has for you. I want to ask you, maybe you need to bow your head and close your eyes and reflect. Have you put a dream to bed because life has knocked you about a bit? What do you see? What do you see? What is that thing that God has for you that you've put to the side? The voice of life has drowned out the voice of the Spirit. That dream that's still stalking you, you know it is because you're thinking of it right now. What is it? What do you see in your imagination? because God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything we ask, think, or imagine. That's His word. That's His promise. It's not my words, it's the word of God. He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond anything we ask, think, or imagine. Holy Spirit, would you breathe? Would you breathe on the coals of our heart tonight? Why don't you stand to your feet with me, church? Holy Spirit, raise your hands if you want to. Says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Oh, your standard. The standard is a banner. The standard is a flag. It's the flag on the mast on the front of a ship that goes into battle. And that flag, that standard, that banner identifies who that ship belongs to. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard. I belong to the army of heaven. I belong to the kingdom of heaven. You may come at me with a sword and a javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord. And you've tried to defy Him. You've tried to water down my dreams. You've tried to put me in a box, but today, my God won't be defied by you. And today, as small as you may think I am, I know whose battle this is. I know whose name I go in. And today I move into that space and I throw what I have at you, and that's enough. Today you're going down. Holy Spirit, have your way right across this room. Now just keep getting the word repentance in my spirit. Many of us here in this room need to repent for believing the lies. You actually need to repent for listening to the lies of fear, the doctors, the past hurts, the shame. Shame is a liar. The regret. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. And as soon as you do, you close that door. It's as easy as that. You close that door. The devil has no access anymore when you say, I'm sorry, God. I give you authority in that area now. God, I repent. Lord, wash over us tonight. Breathe on the dreams. Father, breathe on the coals. Light a fire on the inside of us again. Lord, that we can see you all around us. We can see the potential, the limitless potential that lies ahead of us. Father, we'd see past, Lord, maybe the army that tries to intimidate, and we'll see you. Let us see it, Father God. There are people in this room. You're called to great influence. You're called to great influence. I just want to speak that over you. You know you are, and you almost feel foolish knowing that about yourself. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You're people here, and you've come from great pain. Right now, God is ministering to you and healing your soul. Because there's a generation who needs you to be whole. And He's the great Redeemer. Nothing is ever lost in Jesus. It's never lost. It's never a waste. Everything. He turns everything around. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn around and use it for good in His kingdom. that God has for you are good and not evil, for a future and a hope. That's our God. Nothing that lays in your past even compares to what's ahead of you in your future in God. I see God healing you. Many of you in this room, God has held your tongue. Sorry, the enemy has held your tongue in your workplace, in your university, in your family. God wants you to know you have a word in season. And your word, when it springs up out of the well of the Spirit, it is refreshing to its hearers. It's the water that they've been longing for. Your word will bring life to people. Don't let the enemy hold your tongue any longer. Speak the words of life. Speak the words of hope. Speak the words of truth. Jesus is their answer. The Holy Spirit is their answer. And He'll give you the words to speak. You know, Jesus said to His disciples, when they're like, what do we say? What do we say? He said, don't practice what you're going to say. When you're in the moment, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you what to say. Those life words. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God cares more about your family member than you do. The Spirit of God cares more about your colleague than you do. More about your friend than you do. He wants to speak to them. He'll give you the words to say. Father God, I pray for a harvest.